Yom Kippur is the holiest and most important day of the Jewish year. It literally means the Day of Atonement. The day is described in the Torah, and this is why it's important for Jews. Now, most of the Jewish community will rock up to synagogue for Yom Kippur. There's lots of things that I've spoken about that I'll say, oh, most Jews don't participate in this. They're not really bothered. Yom Kippur is the day. It remembers the day when God seals the book of judgment and Jews repent of their sins. And it's about the restoration of the relationship between God and humans. So how do Jews celebrate it? Well, there are some rules. No work is done. Jews fast for 25 hours. Bathing is forbidden. Wearing leather shoes is forbidden. You can't be comfortable. You can't have any sexual relations. And many Jews spend most of the day in the synagogue. Men will wear a kittel. Again, that white cloak symbolizing purity. And that comes from the Tanakh when it says that your sins will become like snow. So the white is important, purity. Jews will confess their sins and they use the phrase we rather than I. So rather than it being personal, I am sorry for, it's we, the Jewish community. And of course, that links with the idea of Jews having to be good, having to be the light to nations and having to bring on this messianic age. And at the end of Yom Kippur, the ark is opened and then closed. And that symbolizes God's judgment. It symbolizes God's sealing people's fate. And at the end of the service, the shofar is blown, symbolizing the end of the fast. So the sacred text you need to know for this is, for on this day of atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins. You shall be clean before the Lord. If you can't remember all of it, just remember that end bit that's in the Torah. It says that the Yom Kippur is set so that you shall be clean before the Lord. So the whole series of the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is about repentance. It's about being right before God. And it is about acknowledging your sins and starting the new year again fresh. And those ideas of reflection are really important to Jews and for everyone, really, to have that time to mark out a new chapter makes you look back at what's gone on in the year that has just passed and helps you to prepare for the year ahead. And those occasions for all people, not just Jews, are very significant to mark out a new chapter in life. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day festival remembering the creation of humans and God's judgment of actions. It's a time to repent of your sins and make sure that you're right with God, ready for Yom Kippur. So before Rosh Hashanah, Jews will spend time thinking about their actions during the year. They will repent of their sins and try and do good deeds. Repent means to say sorry. And good deeds will include lots of charity work, all that tikklun olam, helping others, getting involved in the community. When the actual days come of Rosh Hashanah, Orthodox Jews will celebrate it for 2 days and Reform Jews just for one. They'll begin with a service in the synagogue before returning home for a meal. At sundown, candles are lit and a Kaddush blessing is said. The food of Rosh Hashanah is significant. It's apples dipped in honey to celebrate a sweet new year. Fish and pomegranates are also eaten. So like with all festivals, they're a distinctive food. On Rosh Hashanah morning, the men will attend a synagogue for a long service. There'll be special prayers that will be said and additions will be made to the Amidah just to mark out that this is a special occasion. Men will wear a kittel. This is a white cloak, which is a symbol of purity. It's also worn at Passover. It's worn at weddings. And sometimes for burials, a kittel, a symbol of purity. The service will involve readings from the Torah, and significantly the shofar will be sounded 100 times. So the shofar is the sound of the ram's horn that symbolizes God's judgment. In the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah, many Jews will go and empty their pockets into a river, and this is to symbolise getting rid of sins. Crucially, Rosh Hashanah is about reflecting on your actions, saying sorry for the things that you've done, and being able to end the year in a good place, ready for God's judgment at Yom Kippur. Passover is a family-centered festival that is celebrated each spring. It remembers the time that the Israelite people were taken out of slavery and were set on their journey for the Promised Land. The key belief that Jews think about at this time is freedom. They celebrate the belief that God will always deliver his people, that he keeps his promises. And they celebrate the idea of freedom, that the Israelites were set free, and that we in turn should celebrate the importance of human freedom. Passover is also about hope. In the meal, they say next year in Jerusalem. And this is the idea that Jerusalem will be rebuilt as the spiritual centre of the world. And therefore, it's about the hope that they have for the Jewish people in the future. Passover is a very exciting family time. Before the actual meal, there is some preparations that must take place. So the eldest son, the firstborn son, will attend the synagogue to study a portion of the Talmud. Most Jews will give to charity. The chametz is removed from the home. That's any leaven. So usually 10 pieces of bread have been hidden around the house and they're collected by the children. It's all exciting fun. And they're burned before Passover starts. So they remove all leaven. In common with many festivals, people will buy new clothes, they'll spring clean the house. This is a really, really joyful occasion. As with all good festivals, wine is drunk. So wine is drunk during the festival, and 10 drops of wine are spilled to represent the 10 plagues. And there's an extra cup. This cup is for Elijah, and it's wine that's left untouched for the table. It's a reminder of the messianic age, that one day Jews will believe that the Messiah will come again and Elijah will announce his arrival. But it's also an extra cup for any visitors. Jews believe they must be very welcoming to all others. Now, this festival is very, very important. It celebrates the deliverance of God, that God keeps his promises. It's a family ritual that has been passed down for over 3,000 years, and it only survives because people have been committed to passing the ritual down the generations. It's about hope, it's about joy, and it's also about family as well and identity. So this is a crucial Jewish festival, one of survival, one of joy, and one ultimately of freedom. Funerals and mourning. The best way actually to revise funerals and mourning is to go onto YouTube, to Google Jewish mourning rituals, Bim Bam, the website Bim Bam on YouTube, and they give a really great detailed guide into Jewish mourning rituals. We use them in class and use them again to help you revise. So the key practices when it comes to Jewish mourning rituals are that people stay with the body until burial. they don't know exactly when the soul departs, and many Jews believe that the soul only departs at burial, and therefore it's respectful to stay until that point. Mourners will make a small tear in their clothes near their heart to show that their heart is broken at the death of someone. And this replicates what Jacob did in the Torah. Now, a little alteration on that idea is that Reform Jews will often wear a black ribbon instead of tearing their clothes. So people who are close to someone who's died will make a small tear in their clothes, like Jacob did in the Old Testament, and Reform Jews will often just choose a black ribbon instead. The burial will take place within 24 hours. The body is wrapped in the tallit with the tassels cut off, and that's because the tallit is a prayer shawl for life. And because the person has died, they will not be requiring the tallit tassels anymore. Mourning lasts for a year. This is a really long mourning period, but it goes through different stages. So the first stage is the most important stage, and this is Shiva, which is 7 days of intense mourning. Intense mourning, where people won't really go out, they'll sit on low stools, they won't shave, and the community are really encouraged to look after the people who are mourning. When it comes to burial, Orthodox Jews will bury a whole body, the body whole, as they believe that the resurrection of the body will happen when the Messiah comes. Many Reform Jews will accept cremation, believing that Judaism is a religion of life rather than worrying about what happens after death. For the actual burial, the body is buried facing Jerusalem, and a prayer will be recited. The grave is filled with soil by the mourners, and this shows love and care for the person who has died. And then the people who've been to the funeral will wash their hands to show that they're leaving death behind. The community will draw two lines, make two lines, and the mourners will pass through them. And then the community will really look after the people who are mourning. It's the responsibility of the family to give the body a headstone, and rather than leaving flowers, people will leave stones at the headstone when they visit. Your sacred texts for this are the tearing of the clothes to imitate what Jacob did in the Torah, and the blessings. Blessings are said all the time in Judaism, aren't they? But blessed are you, our God, King of the universe and true judge. So that's a blessing that's said at the funeral. Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe and true judge. The Jewish marriage ceremony. The Jewish marriage ceremony takes place in two parts. You have the betrothal and the wedding. Weddings can't take place on Shabbat or at festivals. They take place in the synagogue or in a hotel or a large house. And one of the best ways just to picture this is just to Google a Jewish YouTube video of a wedding ceremony. They're usually quite glitzy and glamorous, what we see on YouTube. A lot of money is spent. But these are really very special days for the Jewish community. So first of all, we have the betrothal ceremony, and this is the legal bit. So this is where the wedding contract is drawn up, the ketubah. Now, for the Orthodox communities, this is a legal document about your legal commitments. For the Reform community, this is about your spiritual commitments to each other. When it comes to the actual marriage ceremony, they'll stand under a huppah, and it's symbolic of the home. So it's got a covering at the top, which shows privacy, but it's open at the sides to show that it's welcome for family and friends. rings are exchanged in the Reform service, but just the bride is given a ring in the Orthodox service. The very famous bit of a Jewish ceremony is the breaking of the glass, and people shouting Mazal Tov, which means good luck. The breaking of the glass reminds Jews of the destruction of the temple. It also shows that there'll be bad times in marriage as well as good times. So the key things that you need to remember is the breaking of the glass, that the marriage takes place under a chuppah, and that there's a marriage contract called a ketubah. If you're asked for similarities and differences, the differences in the Orthodox ceremony is that only the bride receives a ring, and a key part in the ceremony is the bride encircling the groom. In the Reform synagogue, they both exchange rings, they both encircle each other.